Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. If it was easy, everyone would do it. If I can draw your attention to verse 13. Originally, I had told the team I wanted to look at verse 8, but I was just looking at verse 13 back in the study as I was preparing to come out here. In verse 13, Paul says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." I'm going to be honest with you. I know this passage. I've read it several times, particularly in the NIV that was translated in 1984. And that phrase, "but everything exposed by the light becomes visible," is pretty much where that verse ended in that original translation, meaning that if the light shines on it, then we can see. So if you step into the light, then we're going to be able to see. And I can't walk in the light and not be transparent. I can't step into the light and people not see everything that's going on with me. The brighter the light, the better you can see what's going on. I don't know if you've ever looked at yourself and you thought you looked pretty good till you stepped into the light. I don't know if you were ever somewhere and met somebody, or maybe you was in a dark room or a club or a bar, help us Jesus, and you thought someone was real cute till you saw them in the light. So sometimes the light shows that stuff is, I don't know if you've ever been somewhere and you thought you was looking good, and then you got to a place and then the right light hit you and you just saw stuff was not right. Sometimes when we start to talk about the word or the will of God or the power of God or relationship with God, we have to realize in him was life and the light was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness. Church is not a place where you really can hide. Can't hide in church because the light is too bright, and you can fake it for a little bit, but inevitably, at some point, we're going to find out who God is with and who God is not with. We're going to find out if what the Lord said is really what he said. We're going to find out if it's really going to come to pass or not. That anybody that steps into the light, that everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible. And then this last little part, which I almost don't even really know what to do with this last little phrase. And to be honest with you, I really just noticed it tonight in this NIV. I haven't even really taken a look back at the original Greek and really seen if it's really what they said or if the NIV translators most recently are just expounding a little bit. But certainly it is an interesting idea to say that everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That when the light shines on you, that I have to be all right about the light exposing me, because when the light hits me, then I become a light. Maybe a part of the reason why I've been through what I've been through is because the Lord is trying to use me as a light to show that you can survive this. And I have to be careful not to front too much and not to fake too much and to be ready to be honest and transparent. Not just because you can't really fake it, we'll really know what's going on, but also because that once I'm illuminated, I become a light. And God is looking for us to be lights in the dark world. That the Lord is looking to shine a light, and that ultimately what all of us ought to be looking for almost more than anything is for the light to shine. Anybody want to be blessed? I know this is a real easy question to ask middle of the week. Anybody want to be blessed? Anybody thinking, I really do want to be blessed? I know I want to be blessed. On a regular basis, I'm saying, Lord, bless me till my cup overflows. I pray because I want to be blessed. I come to church because I want to be blessed. I raise my hands because I want to be blessed. I worship because I want to be blessed. I live right because I want to be blessed. I feel like the Lord is watching. I don't always do right because I feel like doing right. I do right because I feel like the Lord is watching me and I want to be blessed. I want the blessings of the Lord on me and on you and on my church and on my children. I want a blessing that can't be explained. I want a blessing on me that bothers people. Help us. I want a blessing on me that makes people upset and for people to be like, you get on my nerves with all that favor. I want a favor on my life that make people be a hater a little bit. I want people to be like, what you praying for now, Andy? I want a blessing on me that cannot be denied. I want to be blessed. Sometimes when we talk about blessing, it's just a very big kind of broad term. I like to try to break things down just for my own personal growth and edification, because I've been in church my whole life and I'm asking questions I was never allowed to ask. One of the questions that I've been asking is, well, how does blessing really happen? When I say, anybody want to be blessed, and we all raise our hand and say, yeah, I want to be blessed. Well, what does that really mean? How does blessing happen? When I was in Rhema, Kenneth Hagin Ministries, he taught us, Brother Hagin taught us, that you can't just say, God bless me, that you need to ask God to bless you in a specific way. It's not faith for you to just be very general and just say, Lord, bless me. That if you are going to walk by faith, then faith has specificity connected to it. You have to know what you want from the Lord and say some things with some specificity. You have to have a boldness to actually speak some stuff that may seem crazy to other people. You have to have a boldness, and you may find yourself waiting for a while, but just because you're being patient doesn't mean that you're not going to win in the end. And that I've been victorious. I had to be patient, but I had to be victorious, and there's almost nothing more powerful than for you to pray for something with some specificity, and then it come to pass. When I say, do you want to be blessed? It makes me say, all right, Lord, well, what do I mean when I mean being blessed? And I can break it down to three kind of simple ways that I think about being blessed, and I'll throw it on the screens for you, and I'll move on. The first way that God blesses, or the first way that blessing happens, number one, is that God moves a situation. God moves a situation. Sometimes I'm praying for God to move a situation. Sometimes I ask God to change a situation. I'm asking God to take something out and move it. Someone came up to me on Sunday, asked for prayer. A young man came and said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I'm dealing with anxiety. I said to him, I deal with anxiety, so I'm the person to pray for you with that, because I'm set free from anxiety. The devil is a liar, and I gave him some advice on some natural stuff to take. Go down to vitamin shop and get some stuff called GABA. I gave him some stuff like that. Then I got Elder Paul and Bruce. We came, we laid hands on him, and we prayed for God to change that situation. Someone came and said, oh, they're saying I have cancer. And I said, well, let's lay hands and pray for God to move the situation. So that one of the first ways that I have faith that God can change a situation, that God can take a situation and turn it around, that God can take a situation that looks like evil and turn it around for good, that God can actually take a situation and show everybody what he can do. And there's a whole lot of times in which I'm like, God, just show out in this situation. And right now, I'm expecting a blessing, and a part of that blessing is I'm praying that God, angels, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, my worship, walls will knock down, stuff will change, God can change situations. I absolutely believe that. So when I say, Lord, bless me, I'm saying, number one, Lord, change this situation. Lord, work on this situation. Second thing I mean when I say, Lord, bless me, is I mean, God, move people. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. God move people. How does blessing happen? Well, God moves people. And I'm a living witness that God can move people. I'm a living witness that folk will end up doing stuff they wouldn't normally do, because God has the power to influence people, and for people to get dreams, and for people to say stuff to me like, I thought I was going to do something like this today. And I've been in these kind of situations where the Lord has orchestrated for me to meet somebody at the exact right time. I told y'all that when I first started World Overcomers, we first started the church, and we found that Colin, and my operations guy, was with me then, and we started the church, and him and some of the guys, James, they found this building that was a ladies, that was a ladies fitness center in him. It wasn't on the market yet because the guy hadn't bought it yet. And we went and met with the guy. And the guy was like, I haven't bought it yet, but I'm about to buy it. We're about to close. I'm going to let y'all go on in there and start working on it, even though we don't have any contracts signed. Even though we don't have, and even though y'all don't really have the credit. And even though y'all are brand new. And even though y'all just getting this church started. And I don't even see where y'all going to have the money, but I'm going to let you this happen. And I said to him, why are you doing this? And he said, because before his grandmother died, his grandmother told him, one of these days, you are going to have an opportunity to do something for God, Dennis. And when that opportunity comes, don't you miss it. And it was a white guy. And God used a white, I don't know about you, but I'm like, white people and black people, we got to stick together. And for this older white guy to say, my grandmama was talking about you, that's God moving people. God help us. That's God touching the heart of somebody and them doing something they can't quite explain why they're doing. It don't make business sense for him to lease to us, but God has a plan. Anybody believe God can move people? God can touch your supervisor's heart. The Lord can move over your boss. The Lord can touch people at the airline. First time I flew first class, it was favor. So what I'm saying is that God moves people. Third way that God, that blessing happens is God moves you. God moves me. Sometimes I've asked God to change the situation. I've asked God to change people. And when none of that would work, the Lord just moved me. He took me out of one place. Oh, I wish I had. He took me out of one place, put me in another place. Next thing you know, I wake up and I'm in North Carolina with you country people. And I'm thinking, Lord, how did I end up here? Look at the bugs dive bombing me. Look at all the bugs around the light. And I realize how God has a way of blessing me that can be totally disconnected from folk or situations if I'm open to what he has to say in my life. He can move me and put me in a different place. I need a witness in the building. I can't just ask God to move you. I got to be all right with him moving me. One of the main ways that God moves me is through his word. Well, one of the main ways he moves me is through his word. He shines the light. Although, if I can really be honest, totally honest with you, truthfully, that's my confession right now. This is what I want to be, because if I could be really honest, one of the main ways the Lord moves me is through tragedy and pain. Stuff don't work. I'm like a rat in a maze, and the Lord closes this door and closes this door, and I get rejected in this way, and this person talk, and then I end up in the place where the Lord went. But I'm at a point where I'm saying, Lord, I'm tired of you having to move me by hurting me. I want you to move me in the least painful way that you can move me. So if I can move based on light, shine the light, and I'll move. One of my sons went on this trip with me that I'm just returning from, and while we were together, we were watching some sitcom together, and something happened on television, and I said to my son that we cannot underestimate the impact of television on our current culture. Particularly comedy. We laugh at stuff that's not really funny. And then as a result of us laughing at stuff that's not really funny, we start to think that what we laughed at was acceptable. One of the things that we find funny, and I notice it, we find funny in comedy is someone hears wisdom but chooses not to follow it. So someone will give somebody advice that is amazing advice, and instead of them taking the advice, they decided to go in their own way, and we think that's funny. And this one particular little thing that we were watching, it was like the people on the show were up for an award, and they were supposed, they're trying to get this award on the show. You know, it's just within the fiction of the show, they're trying to get an award. And so now, then when, what they started doing is they started buying gifts for the people that were making the, that were going to make the decision. They figure, oh, let's move and let's do that. And the guy's father came and said, yeah, but why would you take an award that he basically was like, don't you want to earn the award for what you did? If you're going to do that, why don't you just go down to the trophy shop and just, if you're going to spend money, just take your money and go buy a trophy. That the award's not really an award if you bribe somebody to get it. That you didn't really win if the winning was cheating. That was wisdom. They said, okay. He said, okay, Dad, I hear you. And then as soon as his dad left, they looked at each other and he said, I really want that award. I really want that. And they just went on and did the wrong thing. We think that's funny, but it's a scary thing to hear wisdom and not follow it. It's not funny for the light to be shined and you don't walk in it. It is dangerous for a word to hit you and you don't follow that word. It's a dangerous thing for me to not be moved by the word. So now, when the word says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, John chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In essence, he's saying, right, you got to realize that in Christ, in his word, there's life, and that life is the light of all mankind, and darkness can't overcome that light. So if I want to have a light that will always shine, then I'm going to have to get into his word. In essence, John the Revelator is making an argument for us to read the word and study the word and be obedient to the word. He's likening the word to Jesus. He's saying that Jesus and the word are the same, and that in him was life, and that life is the light of all mankind, and that light shines in the darkness, and you don't have to worry about darkness overcoming the light. You don't have to worry about lies overcoming the truth. You don't have to worry about crazy thought overcoming right thought if you find right thought. So that if I get into the word, that the word shines a light that darkness can't stop. Now, one of the reasons why the word itself and the Apostle Paul and John the Revelator are making an argument for the word is because the word is challenging. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy, everybody would read it. If it was easy, everybody would obey it. If it was easy, everybody would heed it. He's making an argument in which he's trying to recommend the word, because if you study the word and read the word enough, you'll find out that there's almost nothing as challenging as doing what the word says to do. If you just think, oh, my God, this is going to be great, I'm going to read the word, and I'm just going to have this easy, happy, skippy time, you got another thing coming. Almost nothing will challenge you like the word will challenge you. The word is hard to do. Not only is it hard to be disciplined, not only is it hard to read, not only is it challenging to memorize, just doing the word, just applying the word. The word will fly in the face of what your gut want to do. The word will fly in the face of what you want to do in the flesh. The word will cause you to do something that takes God to do and takes the Holy Ghost to do and takes prayer to do. You think you don't have any reason to worship God? Start trying to live by the word. And you will be like, Lord, you got to touch me. Lord, you got to put your hand on me. Lord, you're going to have to anoint me, if for nothing else, just to do what your word says do. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the word to obey the word. I need this service to help me walk according to the word, because what the word asks me to do is very challenging. And it's a truth that we don't necessarily like to accept, and that is that there's challenges that happen. As a matter of fact, I was just at a meeting, and I don't like to name drop, but I was just at this meeting with Bishop Jakes, and I have to drop his name because I want to give him credit for something that he said, and I kind of wrote it down, and I'm going to quote him. And he said to me, he said to us, one me, there's a whole bunch of us, I just happened to be able to, just invited to be in the room, but he basically said, and I'll throw it on the screens, he said that one of the challenges for us is that we think promises are always great. And what he said was, a promise is often presented as a problem that must be handled. That a promise is often presented as a problem that must be handled. So for all of us that are praying for a promise and asking God to give us our promise, the fact is that very often promises come as problems. So if you are scared of problems, then you will never really access your promise. That if everything challenging is something that scares you. In other words, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And if you're not ready for the hard stuff, then you're not ready for the word. It's going to be real hard to do the word. But here's the thing. I found that the challenge of the word is what actually gives me access to the promises of God, that very often the promises are found in the challenge. Am I by myself? Can anybody say that's true, Pastor? And I realize that this difficulty is actually the promise of God was hidden in it, and I didn't really see it. Whoa, it's a good thing that challenge happened, or I never would have found the promise. It's a good thing that difficulty took place because without that, I would never have actually learned or seen what God really had for me. With that in mind, it just reinforces why the word tells us to do some stuff that's challenging to do. The word tells us to do stuff that in our flesh is not easy. Now, I know today we just want Jesus and kingdom and church to be as easy as possible. But what I'm saying to you is, if you really gonna be a Christian, if you really gonna be a believer, you're gonna have to lift some weights. If you really gonna be a believer, you're going to need some stamina. If you really are going to be a believer, then you have to say, all right, let me get myself ready for the challenging thing. And if you're in this room and you had any kind of halfway decent mama or daddy that made you do some work, they did you a great service. They did you a great service. You had a mama that made you wait, she did you a great service. You had a daddy that made you be quiet, he did you a great service. If you had some folk that didn't let you complain, then you had a, if you had some people, aunties, uncles, grandparents, somebody that didn't let you cry when you didn't get your way, they helped you a whole lot, because it is difficult to go from being spoiled to walking according to the word. And so I realize that the word presents challenges, and I want to close out in the last 10 minutes I have just kind of laying out a challenge that Paul lays out in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, he's saying, well, once you were darkness, now you're light. So I want you to live as children of the light. Fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Let's get into the truth. Let's get into the word. Find out what pleases the Lord. So it's not just about what can be found that's written. Well, the Bible don't say nothing about wheat. Just because of what? The Bible don't say marijuana in the scriptures does not mean that we don't need to find out what pleases the Lord. We got quiet in here. While we were on a trip, me and my son, we had this event. He asked me, okay, Dad, what is the problem with me? Weed? I'm going to tell you, it's a little bit of a prayer moment when your son says, what is wrong with weed? He wanted to know, what is the problem with weed? And I said to him, there's several problems with weed. Number one, when you're young, you don't need anything messing with your brain chemistry. As Joe Clark says, it kills your brain cells, son. It kills your brain cells. It kills your brain cells. It's amazing how we're dealing with anxiety and depression and all because weed messes with your brain chemistry. And weed can make your brain lazy. Ooh, see, nobody wants to say amen on that one. You better learn how to feel all right even when stuff is not great. And if you give yourself too much weed, then you will rob your brain's ability to feel good in tough situations. Weed will be a crutch. And the earlier you start it, the more it's going to be a crutch for you. Ain't nobody want to say amen, but I'm preaching against weed. I said, number one. Number two, I said that right now at 19, this is not the time to be chilling anyway. This is not the time to feel good. This is the time to be upset. This is the time to be mad because you broke. This is not the time to be like, I don't care about that. This is the time to trip. This is the time to be worried about how you're going to take care of yourself. 85, smoke all the weed you want. But at 19, you need to be thinking what you're going to do, how you're going to make money. This is not the time to feel good. This is the time to work hard. Oh, I'm not even planning on preaching weed, but I'm preaching against it. I said the third thing is that we have to realize, it's not even a note, so I don't even know why. I said the third thing we have to realize is that there is a veil between the supernatural and the soul. There is a veil between the spirit and the soul. The word is sharp enough to divide eating soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. You've got the spiritual world on this side. You've got the soulish world on this side. You've got your body over here. And there is a veil between your soul and your spirit. There is a veil between the soul and the spirit realm. And your ability to recognize things in the spirit from your soul depends on if something thins the veil. Worship thins the veil. You come in here, you praise God, you start to worship Him. The more you worship Him, the more susceptible you are to spiritual influence because your veil gets thin. Good God, help us. If you could ever just say, Lord, I love you, God, I praise you, you might find yourself running around because all of a sudden you have a clarity from the Spirit that you did not have because there's a veil between the two. That the Holy Ghost thins the veil, that praise thins the veil, that worship thins the veil, and you become more susceptible to spiritual influence the thinner the veil is. And you know what else thins the veil? Weed thins the veil. And drugs thins the veil. And alcohol thins the veil. So you become more susceptible to demonic influence when the veil is thinner. And the next thing you know, you done something stupid. Because the thief that has come to kill and steal and destroy is waiting for you to get high enough so he can get you to do something that you will regret later. I need a witness in here. The next thing you know, you'll be thinking, why did I do this? Can I get a witness in the building? Anybody can say, I was like, why am I here? Why did I do this? Why am I with this person? How did I end up with a child with this ugly, evil man? It's because we'd thin the veil, and you ended up dancing with somebody that ain't even cute. Your inhibitions was down, and you was like, come on, ugly man. And the next thing you know, you twerking on some ugly dude, and now you got an ugly baby. Ooh, I wish I had a witness. Don't nobody want to say amen on this one. You done took stupid seed, and now you trying to raise a child that came from dumb seed. And the reason why you had dumb seed in you is because it thins your veil, and a demonic influence made you be with somebody that you would not be with in your right mind. I need a witness in the building. When you think about it like that, you need to be awake. You need to be alert. You need to be watching. I ain't got no time to smoke no weed. I'm drinking coffee. I'm in the Word. I need to be in my right mind because I was taught that you better be careful. Especially once God starts to use you. Oh, let me say this to everybody in here. Devil mad. Devil mad you preaching. Devil mad you singing. Devil mad you leading worship. Devil's mad about that. I don't know if I'm the only one. I know I'm not the only one. They taught me. See, you'll smoke it and you'll die. Oh, help me, Jesus. That's what they said. Everybody else will be there lit and you'll be dead. Because the devil's trying to take you out of here. And you'll get the one hit of weed that make you overdose. That's what they scared you. I know I'm not the only one. They scared you. They said the devil's trying to take you out of here. It's the same people that told you better play them drums or the Lord will take your hand. Your hands won't even work. Bruce didn't get paid to play no drums. Nigga, you better play them drums. You better play them drums for free. I need a witness in the building. They'd be like, you better get your hips up on that stage before you can't sing at all. They made you think, if God is for me, then this is a war zone. And the last thing I need to do is to get caught slipping drunk. Oh, I need a witness. Last thing I need to do is get caught slipping high. I said, son, you have accepted a call of God on your life and understand that the devil wants to kill you. Do you all understand the devil wants to kill you in here? Has anybody got that yet? That the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. The Lord has come that you'll have life and that more abundantly. And I don't want to give any place to the devil. And weed is a doorway to the devil. This is going to go viral. We need to show this. People are going to be mad at me. That's any weed from the earth. It's for us and it's legal. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's beneficial. Just because it's permissible does not mean it's beneficial. Wine, neither. Time to shut it down, Pastor Andy. You done gone to meddling. Because after service is over, I'm tipping over to the ABC store. But I'm telling you right now, you sipping it for taste? Hallelujah. But there's a whole lot of stuff you can sip for taste. Juice got taste, right? Sweet tea got taste. All kinds of stuff got taste. I'm just drinking it for the taste. Well, there's all kinds of stuff. Chocolate milk got taste. If you can't wait to get home to get your wine, like, ooh, can I just get my wine and sit in my garden and just, it just relaxes me. That's right. You are thinning your veil. Your veil is getting thinner. And the next thing you know, you telling somebody something you shouldn't told them. Next thing you know, you giving somebody a piece of your mind, and you ain't got a lot of pieces left. Next thing you know, you cussing folk out. Next thing you know, you wake up the next day and can't remember what happened. What happened last night? Where was I? That is the scary. What happened last night? Where was I? Where my underwear? That is the scary. What are you talking about? Why would you ever do anything that makes you forget where your underwear are? I'm just going to talk square. It looks like I'm done. I'm not moving any further. Why am my underwear wet? Oh, my God. Why is your underwear wet? Why have you thinned the veil? Let's just nip this thing right now. Just because wine is permissible does not mean it's beneficial. Nobody wants to say amen on that one. Doesn't mean it's beneficial. Doesn't mean it benefits you. Hey, you better wash that veil. You better wash that veil because the enemy is trying to influence us into death. Now, what I'm saying is the word is challenging. Sorry. Thank you, son. The word is challenging. And the Apostle Paul says, oh, yeah, this ain't going to be easy. I'm going to give you some tough stuff to do. And I'm just going to read the list real quick. And I'll share on it next week. But I'll just read the list. I'm not even going to comment. The Apostle Paul gives stuff in the Word that's hard to do. First one, and I'll throw on the screens, is he says, wives, submit to your husbands. I'm just going to have a veil on my face. Wives, submit to your husbands. I'm not going to comment, but that's a tough one. He started right there with a kicker. That means if you got a husband, then God is going to judge how well you submit. I just move on. Husbands, love your wives. Help us, Holy Ghost, because love is sacrificial, meaning that marriage is the cross that you nail yourself to if you want a wife. Can't nobody said amen on that one. Move on, Pastor Andy, move on. Number three, children, obey your parents. Oh, that's it, I'm done. Children, obey your parents. It's one thing to obey sane parents, something else altogether. To honor and obey crazy parents. Even sane parents are hard to obey. I need a witness in the building. There's a whole lot of us in here trying to obey God and never obeyed parents. See, I was just supposed to be reading the list and not commenting. Number four, parents, fathers especially, don't frustrate your children. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Number five, slaves, workers, obey. Quiet. That means that if you work for somebody, you have to do what they say. You have to do what they say. You work for somebody, you have to do what they say. Tomorrow, be at work on time. Get there early and leave late. See, Pastor Andy, it's time to shut it down. It's 8:33. Don't take stuff from work. I'm going to just take these pens. Wait. Workers, be a good worker. Number six, bosses, treat your workers right. Don't threaten them. Be a good boss. Be a good supervisor. Don't take credit for people's work. That's not your work. Then I got a seventh one that I'm just going to throw out here, which he said in the very first verse, in which he said in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Oh, God. That means that just out of your reverence and respect for Christ, you ought to be able to listen to somebody. You shouldn't only be able to do stuff that you think. If it was easy, everybody would do it. That, in essence, what the word is saying is, yeah, disobeying the word thing's not going to be easy. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. This obeying the word thing is not going to be easy. No, let me get to working on being obedient to the word, because that obedience to the word works a spiritual muscle that will empower me to unlock a promise that God has for me that very often is locked in a problem. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord. I went over 5 minutes. Anybody hear a word from the Lord? Praise the Lord. Jump on your feet. Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's pray for one another. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for our time together. Thank you for your word. It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thank you that the entrance of your word sheds light. As we walk in the light, as you're in the light, we have fellowship with one another. God, make us careful. Careful what we eat, careful what we drink, careful where we go. Protect us from the enemy, protect us from ourselves. Shine the light on us. Shine the light on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Thank you for this group, God. What an awesome group came out tonight. Thank you for every visitor who's with us. Thank you for everyone that watched live stream around the world. Thank you, God, that your hand is on us for good. Have your way in us. As we're about to leave and dismiss, protect us, watch over us, our teenagers, our children, children's ministry, as we greet one another and hug one another. God, I pray that we'll bless one another for all that's about to happen. The women's meeting that's happening on Saturday, God, at the Raleigh Church. And then, God, for Sunday service, God, I'll be here. We're talking about the power of your word, the men's retreat, all the things that are happening with us. Order our steps. We'll give you praise. And God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give them peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you.